Morning. Bring you Christian greetings this morning. It's good to be here in Tyrone with you again. I do just feel a little guilty this morning. How many know what today is? See a raise of hands. Okay, Mother's Day. Like Stephen said, it was just, I think, Tuesday evening when we nailed this down that we're going to do an exchange here. And I called Stephen Wednesday morning and I said, hey, this is Mother's Day. And I do not have a Mother's Day message. So I am sorry for that. But I just want to give special recognition to the mothers here. God's blessing to you this morning. You know, you do so much every day, and keep it up. God's blessing to you. It's you're a real blessing to each one of us. For a message this morning, I have chosen to share this was an assignment, which was for our Winter Bible School, and I know you're out of the loop. You do not get to hear the Winter Bible School messages. So this was, like I said, an assignment. I was challenged as I studied for this message. The message, this title, is Confession of Sin, When and Why. And I've taken the liberty to add how. So it's Confession of Sin, When, Why, and How. We need a message this morning, because all of the human race has this problem called sin. Let's just turn to a couple verses here. 1 John 1:8. Like I said, we all have this, the whole human race has this problem called sin. 1 John 1:8 says, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Turn to Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes 7, verse 20. Ecclesiastes 7, verse 20. For there is not a just man upon earth that doeth good and sinneth not. Says there is not a just man that doeth good and sinneth not. Isaiah 53:6, you don't have to turn to it. I think we all know that. And all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. You know, every single one of us, like I said, has this sin problem. You know, there's no one that is exempt. And as we get to the age of accountability, you know, we need to decide if we're going to live with it or if we're going to ask God to help us deal with it. Why do some people decide to live with it? Well, I just wrote two down. I'm sure there's many reasons. First one, because it's too painful a process to deal with. I think we all know about that. You know, it just gets to be a little painful process to deal with. The second one I wrote down, the lifestyle that they must live in order to keep free from sin is too restrictive. Well, with this sin problem also comes a death sentence. Just want to read, turn to Ezekiel 18, verse 4. You know, because we have all sinned, we all had a death sentence pronounced on us. Ezekiel 18, verse 4, says, behold, all souls are mine. As the soul of the Father, so also the soul of the Son is mine. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. Another one would be Romans 6:23. You'll have to look that up. It says, "For the wages of sin is death." Just for a, let's go to a courtroom. I don't know if any of you have ever been in a courtroom, but I want each one of you to think of yourself as the one on trial. You're the one that has committed a terrible crime. Can you imagine with me what it must feel like to be the guilty one in a court trial? You know, you're sitting there and you know you're guilty of that, of a terrible crime. And you know you deserve the death penalty. Well, you sit there all through the trial, listening to all the accusations that are brought against you. And that can be a long process. And then finally, when that's over, then the jury gets dismissed to decide your verdict. And that can also be a long process. Well, as they file back into the room, and one of them hands the judge their verdict, probably your heart pounds so loud that you think everyone in the room can hear it. You know, probably the seconds seem like minutes, and the minutes seem like hours. As the judge reads over their verdict, and then at the end, he pounds his gavel and declares guilty. You know, we really cannot imagine how terrible each one of us would feel, knowing that now you get ushered into death row. You know, now you must sit there and wait for the day when you will be executed. You know, there is nothing else for you to do. You know, you cannot undo what you did, and there's no way that you can pay for your wrong. You must give your life for it. You know, the only way that you can avoid the death penalty is if someone grants you a pardon that you do not deserve. You know, and this morning, when you think about it, you know, that was you and me. You know, we all had that death penalty on us. But Christ's work at Calvary offered you and me a pardon that we did not deserve. Let's praise the Lord for that gift this morning. Do we appreciate it as much as we should? It's such a gift. Well, living with the guilt of sin upon us can almost be unbearable. Let's just turn to Psalm 32. You know, a guilty conscience is one of the most miserable things to live with. I want to read just two verses. Psalms 32:3-4. This is David describing the guilt that he was living with because of his adultery with Bathsheba and because of murdering Uriah. Psalms 32:3-4. "When I kept silence, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. For day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. My moisture is turned into the drought of summer." Selah. Do you see the downhill process? You know, David tried to hide his adultery by murdering Uriah, which only made his guilt worse. So I thought about that story. You know, a common response to deal with guilt is to try and hide it. try to cover it up. Try to cover up the evidence of our sin. And one way of doing this is to pass the blame onto someone. And I thought of Adam and Eve. They were a good example of that. We don't have time to read that story. I think we all know it. But Adam and Eve did this. You know, Adam was guilty of disobedience. But he did not deny it. But neither did he accept responsibility for his actions. What did he do? Well, he blamed Eve. Let me just read you his response. "The woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat." You look back over what he just said. He said, "the woman." Well, he was blaming Eve. The next statement said, "whom thou gavest to be with me." It almost sounds like Adam was blaming God. God was the one that gave her to him. Well, look, just look a little bit at Eve. You know, Eve was guilty of disobedience. And she was guilty of influencing her husband. But she wasn't willing to accept responsibility either. What did she do? Well, she passed it on to the serpent. Let me read you her response. She told God, "The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat." Well, Adam and Eve, I believe they each felt they had a valid excuse. But they each knew God's command, and they each had disobeyed. And trying to push the blame onto someone else did not excuse either of them. You know, God still held each of them responsible for their actions and for what they had done. Well, I believe this morning, because guilt is such a miserable thing to live with, everyone wants to get rid of it. Get rid of it. And we do this by either denying it, by either justifying it, or facing it. As we all know, the only effective solution is facing it. You know, instead of trying to deal with our guilt, we need to deal with the cause of our guilt. You know, we need to admit that the cause of our guilt is our sins. And we need to acknowledge our sins. You know, repent of them. Confess them. You know, I believe this morning, true repentance is being sorry for our sins. And it'll cause us to come to God, ask for forgiveness, forsake our sins, and make our wrongs right. A quote I came across went like this: "In repentance, the heart is not only broken for its sins, but from its sins." You know, without true repentance, we're talking about confession this morning, or we're going to talk about confession here. You know, without true repentance, a confession is worthless. First point of the message, we're going to look at why must I confess sin, then we'll look at when, then we'll look at how. First point, why must I confess my sins? First one I have under that is confession brings freedom from guilt. Turn to Proverbs 28:13. Confession brings freedom from guilt. You know, there is only one right way to get rid of our guilty conscience. "He that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy." You know, it is the only way God will pardon our sin. You know, there, as I thought about that, you know, there's probably three main reasons man hesitates to confess his sin. First one, he still loves sin and is not willing to give it up. Second one, he's too ashamed to let others know what he has done, which is pride. And the third one, he's afraid to face the consequences. And probably, if we're honest, probably every one of us have been tempted to use maybe all three of these excuses already. I know I have. Well, when a person is truly sorry for their sins, they will be willing to confess them. And I realize that there is usually a sense of shame and humiliation that goes along with confessing what we've done. But this should not hinder our willingness to confess. I still remember the response of a man who was involved in adultery. And he was miserable. And he had come to the end of himself. And he said, "I don't care what people say about me. I don't care what people think about me." He just wants forgiveness from his sin. You know, that's where we need to come to. You know, he could not live with his guilt. Second point under why must I confess my sin? Confession restores our relationship with God. I want to read 1 John 1:9. Says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You know, just the fact that God gave his son to die for us just shows the depth of his love for us. And our relationship to God should be our number one concern. You know, if our relationship with God is not right, there's nothing else in life will be right either. It's only a close relationship with God is going to keep us from sin. And let's remember, only those who are free from sin can come into the presence of God. Third one, under why must I confess my sins? Confession restores our relationship with others. And I want to read James 5, verse 16. James 5, verse 16. Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that ye may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. We must forgive others even when they do not ask for it. But when we refuse to acknowledge our wrongs, we make it more difficult for others to forgive us. And they do not have the confidence that we understand probably what we've done. And there's also, I believe, a benefit in admitting our struggles and asking others to pray for us. Another quote I came across, a little bit of a lengthy quote. When I stand before my sister or brother honestly, when through authentic confession I bring my humanity, my struggles, my failures out into the light, something dies. My false self and its endless self-justification is broken. My defenses fall. My guilt is uncovered. The light reveals it, and it dies. It's a loaded quote if you think through that. Second part of the message, when do I need to make a confession? First one I have is when I have sinned against God. And I want to read Psalm 32, verse 5. Psalms 32, verse 5 says, I acknowledge my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgression unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. Selah. You know, sin, like I said before, sin is a violation of God's commandments. You know, God has established certain standards for mankind. And when man violates those standards, he sins. And sin separates us from God. Sin brings us before the throne of God for divine justice. And since all sins are a violation against God's will, you know, all sin needs to be confessed to God. Second one under when do I need to make a confession is when I have sinned against others. And I would like to divide sin into three categories. First one I have is heart sins. Second one is social sins. And the third one is immoral sins. Let's just talk a little bit about each one. Heart sins. Heart sins are sins that only took place in our minds and did not affect anyone else. You know, this could be maybe a bad attitude that you may have had towards someone, but they never knew about it. In this case, you need to confess it to God, but you do not need to go to that person and tell them about your bad attitude. You know, this would only hurt that person and cause them to struggle. But if you are struggling with gaining victory over your heart sins, you may need to share them with someone and ask them to pray for you, and so you can have victory or find victory. Just a little bit on social sins. Social sins involve words or actions that actually affected others. You know, this could include sins like gossiping, lying, stealing, treating people unkindly, and the list could go on. You know, these sins should be confessed to those who were affected by them and also to those who witnessed your actions. And then just a little on immoral sins. Immoral sins are such sins as fornication, adultery, homosexuality, and such like. And most times, immoral sins need public confessions, but sometimes they can be taken care of privately. But because of the seriousness of immoral sins, often they require church discipline and a public confession is needed. And each situation is different, and I'm not here this morning to give you a specific rule to go by. But if you have committed immoral sins, confess it to someone. You know, and they can help guide you. Confess it to your ministry or to your parents or someone. They can help guide you into deciding whether or not you need to make a public confession. Well, we looked at two times when we need to make against God and when we have sinned against others. Let me ask you a question. How are you going to know when you have sinned and need to make a confession? You know, can our conscience be a safe guide? Let me give you an example of two different kinds of consciences. These are not real happenings. Just put two things together here just to try and learn some lessons from. Let's just say you're on the job. You're working with a coworker, and you don't have time on you. So you ask one of your coworkers, "What time is it? I lost track of time." Your coworker answers, "It's 11 o'clock." A little while later, your coworker comes back to you and confesses that he did not tell you the truth. It was not 11 o'clock, but it was 11:05. Let's think through this. Was answering 11 o'clock fine? Yes, I think 11 o'clock was fine. You know, you had just said that you lost track of time. You know, you weren't sure if it was 10 o'clock or 11 o'clock or 12 o'clock. And there was no deadlines that were to be missed. And there was no deception involved. Let me just give you another example. Let's say we have a youth boy, and the youth have an activity planned, and he's allowed to go with the youth group, but his dad said he must be home by 11 o'clock. Well, he was having so much fun. He hated to leave, and he didn't get left in time. So he got home at 11:20. Well, his dad had not heard him come home the night before. So the next morning, his dad asked, "What time did you get home last night?" And he answers, "Oh, around 11 o'clock," hoping that would end the conversation. Let's think through that a little bit. Was that okay? No, I don't think that was okay. That wasn't okay. You know, he knew his dad was pretty strict with deadlines, and that there'd be some consequences if he got home late. So he wasn't quite honest, hoping to avoid the consequences. Well, you know, when you stop and think about it, you know, this young man is actually guilty of lying. You know, the proper answer to his dad's question was 11:20. You know, if he had been honest and discussed the situation with his dad, you know, maybe his dad would have been willing to excuse him this time. But not being open and honest, this young man has, I believe, has sinned against God and his dad. And he needs to confess to God and to his dad that he intentionally lied. You know, this morning, I'm not here to dull someone's conscience. I know some people do struggle with an overly sensitive conscience. And to those with an overly sensitive conscience, I want you to know that if your motives are right, and that if you are open and honest before God, you are clear. You do not need to worry if you realize you did not say something just exactly right, or retell a story just right. Let me read Hebrews 4, verse 12 tells us that God is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. You know, God knows if we are trying to be honest or if we're trying to deceive. You know, now, some of us probably need our consciences sharpened up a little bit. We need to remember that half-truths are whole lies. And when we have told half-truths to intentionally deceive, we have sinned against God and our fellow man. You know, you can convince yourself on anything. You know, as I thought about that, you know, there's a lot of professing Christians that are living in sin, total violation against God's word. You know, what the Bible calls sin, we need to call sin. And that's only when our conscience is governed by the Bible can it be a safe guide for us to follow. Third part of the message is how to make a confession. I just have a few things for us to, I'll try and run down pretty fast here. A few things for us to remember when we're making the confession. And as I studied for this message, I thought back over some of my confessions. And I was made to realize that I've failed in some of these areas. First one under how to make a confession is accept full responsibility for your actions. Don't try to justify your actions by pointing out the faults in anyone else. Don't try to minimize your sin by comparing it to someone else's sin. You know, the best way to ruin a confession is to use words that shift the blame to others, or that appear to minimize or excuse your guilt. You know, don't use those little words, if, but, maybe. You know, don't say, I'm sorry I got angry and said unkind words to you, but you made me angry when you did such and such. You know, don't say, maybe I was wrong when I did that. No, just say, I was wrong when I did that. You know, if you want to find true peace, humbly and unconditionally admit you're wrong. And remember, you are confessing your sins, your own sins. And you're doing it to clear yourself before God. And you are not confessing in order to point out the sins of others. Second one I have under how to make a confession is be specific. A quote I came across went like this. We experience release from our guilt in direct proportion of our willingness to face our sins and confess our sins. And then a little account I came across, I want to read to you. It says, an old fellow had a conscience that troubled him. At last he went to a farmer and said, Master, I am sorry. I stole a rope from you a while back. His master forgave him, and the countryman went away. But he still had no peace of mind, for he had not told the farmer that there was a cow at the end of the rope when he stole it. You know, that story sounds humorous. But how many times are we guilty of acting just like this man? You know, to save our face, we do not confess the whole story. You know, if we are not honest and confess all our sins, we will not find freedom from guilt nor forgiveness for the sins that we did not confess. Let's remember that. Third one under how to make a confession is acknowledge the fact that you hurt others. You know, most time when we sin, we call and let them know that you understand their pain and take responsibility for causing their hurts. Don't put the blame on them for getting hurt. The fourth one under how to make a confession is accept the consequences for your actions. And that I have two Bible examples of men who did this very well, and we don't have time to, we all know the stories very well. The first one is the prodigal son. It's a good example. Let me just read Luke 15:21. It says, "And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son." You know, he had taken responsibility for what he had done. And the second one is Zacchaeus in Luke 19, verse 8. Let me just read verse 8. It says, And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, "Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold." You know, both of these men were willing to do whatever it took to correct their wrongs. Offer, you know, when we've hurt someone, offer to make restitution in whatever way we can for what we have done. Another quote I came across said, "The harder you work to make restitution and repair any damage you have caused, the easier it will be for others to believe your confession and be reconciled to you." And then the fifth one on how to make a confession is ask for forgiveness. You know, when we ask for forgiveness, we are acknowledging the fact that we did something that needs forgiveness. You know, we must always ask God to forgive us our sins. And when we make a confession to others, we also need to ask for their forgiveness. We are not asking for forgiveness to pressure them into forgiving us. And if they refuse to grant us forgiveness at the moment, give them time. Sometimes it may take them, they may be working through what the hurts that we brought to them. But if they refuse to grant us forgiveness at the moment, we can still be free from guilt, knowing that we have done our best to restore the relationship. Well, back to our title, Confession of Sin, When, Why, and How. You know, as long as we live on this earth, sin is something we will have to deal with. And by God's grace, we want to live lives that are free from sin. But if we fail and fall into sin, let's be sure to take care of it as soon as possible and take care of it correctly. Because you and I know that that no sin will enter heaven. Only those who are free from sin will be allowed to enter there. Let me read one verse yet. 1 Timothy 5:24 reads like this: "Some men's sins are open beforehand, going before to judgment, and some men they follow after." You know, let's be sure to take care of our sins beforehand by confessing them. You know, if we don't, they are going to follow after us, and we'll need to face them then at the judgment. Well, none of us knows how soon we will face God. So let's, I guess the challenge I want to leave with each one of us, let's keep our record clear so we can be accepted by Him and that we can live forever with Him. With these thoughts, let's kneel for prayer.